In the House Chamber, Legislative Day 49.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This evening's prayer will be offered by Representative Quick. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Quick.
Good evening, and thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good evening to everyone. Could we please pause for a moment in acknowledgement of the diversity of faiths that are in North Carolina, and then I will pray a Christian prayer. Great God, our Creator, as we convene this evening in preparation for the gathering of all three branches of our state's government, we welcome your presence and pray your blessings upon all who gather, and especially Governor Cooper as he gives a State of the State address. We thank you for safe travels from all four directions to this gathering place. As we sit on both sides of the aisle, let us be reminded tonight that ideological differences and a strip of carpet should never cause us to fail to marvel at the fact that you, the same God who stretched the heavens across the sky and filled the oceans with water, you are the one who made each of us in your image. And we conclude this prayer in agreement with King Solomon, who said the whole duty of man is to fear and reverence you and obey your commands. There is no name like Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for April 22nd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Torbett moves that the journal for April 22nd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the House. Corporal Reed.
North Carolina Department of State Treasurer, State and Local Government Finance Division, and Local Government Resolution recommending that the North Carolina General Assembly repeal the charter of the town of East Laurinburg in Scotland County.
The resolution is placed on file in the clerk's office. Introduction of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representative Sasser, House Bill 639, Opioid Abuse Treatment Centers Funds.
Appropriations, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Yarborough, Brody, and Arp, House Bill 640, Innovation Transfer Clarifying Amendments.
Environment, if favorable, Judiciary 4, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Von Haven and Warren, House Bill 641, State Parks Fund Electric Vehicles Charging Stations.
Appropriations, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Bradford, Lambert, Ray, and M. Mikhail Ralph, House Bill 642, Down Syndrome Organ Transplant Non-Discrimination Act.
Health, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Insko, White, Hurtado, and Harrison, House Bill 643, Reference Pricing for Prescription Drugs.
Rules.
Representatives Elmore, Sane, and Torbett, House Bill 644, Remote Academies.
Education, K-12, the favorable rules.
Representative Everett, House Bill 645, Repeal Public Records Mediation.
Rules.
Representatives White and Lambert, House Bill 646, Dental Care Act.
Health, if favorable, insurance, if favorable, rules.
Representatives McNeil and Potts, House Bill 647, Enhanced In-Service Retirement and Law Enforcement Officers.
Pensions and Retirement, if favorable, rules.
Representative Sasser, House Bill 648, Emergency Care, Animal Veterinary Practice.
Health, if favorable, rules.
Representative Brandon Jones, House Bill 649, Clarify Motor Vehicle Franchise Laws.
Transportation, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Brendan Jones, Eiler, and Shepard, House Bill 650, Omnibus MDF Bill.
Transportation, if favorable, rules.
Representative Paré, House Bill 651, Restore Trees and Holly Springs Funds.
Appropriations and favorable rules.
Representatives Zolka, Bell, Hollister, and Brody, House Bill 652, NC Consumer Fireworks Safety Act.
Finance and favorable insurance and favorable rules.
Representatives Cunningham, Lambert, Kristen Baker, and Adcock, House Bill 653, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Disorder Priority Report.
Health and favorable rules.
Representative Hollister, Reeves, Lambert, and Bradford, House Bill 654, Statewide Contract, Nonprofits for the Blind.
Did you just read 653 or 654?
State government and favorable rules.
Representatives Logan, Cooper Suggs, Hawkins, and Candy Smith, House Bill 655, State Employees Paid Parental Leave.
Rules. Mr. Clerk, members, chair is going to modify the referral on 652. That bill should go to insurance, if favorable, then finance, then if favorable to rules.
Representatives Alexander and Logan, House Bill 656, prohibition on no-knock warrant service.
Rules.
Representative Tolbert, House Bill 657, school safety, threat assessment team.
Education K-12, if favorable, rules.
Representative Lambert, House Bill 658, deploy child welfare and aging components and families access service through technology.
Family, children, and aging policy, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives Faircloth, Hollister, and Carter, House Bill 659, Guilford, Rockingham Funds Extension.
Appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives Kidwell, Goodwin, Hannick, and Sasser, House Bill 660, repeal certificate of need, certain facilities and procedures.
Rules, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Moffitt, Pless, Miller, and Gillespie, House Bill 661, community college fire training, 15 years old.
Education, community colleges, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Faircloth, Brockman, Hollister, and Quick, House Bill 662, increased funding, High Point Furniture Market.
Appropriations, if favorable, rules.
Representative Shepherd, Eiler, and Pickett, House Bill 663, toll lane penalty.
Transportation finance, excuse me, strike that. Transportation, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules.
Representatives Clements, Lambert, Pickett, and Lofton, House Bill 664, County Service Districts, Early Childhood Education.
Education K-12, if favorable, rules. Members, Mr. Clerk, chair directs that House Bill 120, the short title is Funds for Sedalia Infrastructure Study. The referral to Rules Committee is stricken. The bill is referred to the Committee on Local Government, and then it will have a serial referral thereafter to the Finance Committee, and then if favorable, rules. Additionally, House Bill 358, short title Save Women's Sports Act. The bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary 1 and referred to the Committee on Rules. The additional serial referred to rules would therefore be stricken. The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Penny, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It was my honor yesterday to help celebrate the 90th birthday of Bill Shue in the town of Irwin. We had a parade for him. Bill is a lot of the Energizer Bunny. If there's anything going on in Irwin, whether it's the Denim Festival, Christmas parades, or whatever, you can always count on Bill to be there. 90 years old and going strong. Thank you, Bill. We love you.
Members, for your planning purposes, of course, this evening will be the State of the State. That will be at 7, but we will start admitting the members of the Senate, the Council of State, and the Governor's Cabinet prior to that time. And so we'll be going standing at ease momentarily to in order that we do that. Prior to going into that, though, we will be taking a motion to adjourn upon dissolution, and I want to, for members who have not been through this process before, we'll be voting on adopting the motion to adjourn, but it will not be effective until we finally adjourn the joint session. So when you hear the motion to adjourn, which is done prior to any of the events of this evening. Don't take that as if we're done, because we're not. That's just getting that out of the way as we're sitting as a House. Because when we come back in at 7, we'll be sitting as a joint session between the House and the Senate. And so we'll need to dispose of all our House business prior to that time. Before we start going in that direction, do we have any notices or announcements? If so, members are encouraged to make those at this time. Okay. For what purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Watford, rise?
Local government will meet tomorrow at 1 o'clock in 1228.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise?
Yes, sir. The Transportation Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock and 1228. I'd like to see you there.
And members, tomorrow's session will be at 3 p.m., but the chair noticed there's a Judiciary Committee. I believe, Representative Davis, your Judiciary Committee is scheduled for 3. The chair would grant you authority to move that committee up if you would like to. We'll get the sergeant-at-arms to give you a room if gentlemen approach the dais. For what purpose, gentlemen from Stanley, Representative Sasser, rise?
Announcement.
Gentlemen has the floor.
Health Committee will meet 10 o'clock in the morning, 6:43.
Members, chair's going to go ahead and take care of the motion to adjourn upon dissolution. That does not mean we are adjourned. Just want to make sure members understand that. Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn upon dissolution of the joint session to reconvene Tuesday, April 27th at 3 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Torbett has moved, seconded by Representative Hastings, that the House adjourn upon dissolution of the joint session to reconvene Tuesday, April 27th at 3 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the motion is adopted. The House is going to stand at ease. Ask members to please take their seats. To a number of our guests who are with us in the gallery who normally would be on the floor, please accept our apologies with the social distancing under our current circumstances we had to do the seating this evening, but you'll be recognized for me in a bit, but please know we all personally are grateful and appreciative for every one of you for being here, and you'll be recognized in just a bit formally, but wanted to personally say that to you as well this evening. Thank you all. It's ordered a message be sent to the Senate informing that honorable body that the House stands ready to receive them in joint session at the hour appointed. Mr. Clerk. Special message from the Senate. Clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that pursuant to House Joint Resolution 603, Resolution 2021-3, a joint resolution inviting His Excellency Governor Roy Cooper to address the joint session of the House of Representatives and Senate. The Senate stands ready to repair to the Hall of the House, there to sit in joint session with the Honorable Body for the State of the State Address. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. The Sergeant-at-Arms is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate and its officers await entrance at the door for your direction.
The Sergeant-at-Arms will admit the members of the Senate and their officers and seat that honorable body.
Yeah, go.
And to our senators who are seated, there are also 8 seats along the front for senators who would like those seats as well. The chair extends the courtesies of the House to the Council of State, the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, and the wife of Lieutenant Governor, Second Lady Yolanda Robinson, and the Governor's Cabinet. Please stand so we may welcome you at this time. I now relinquish the gavel to the President of the Senate, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
We are a few minutes early so the House can be at ease. Thank you. Members will return to their seats to prepare for the interest of the governor. Thank you. The General Assembly will come to order. The Sergeant at Arms of the House is recognized.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the presence of His Excellency, the Governor of the State of North Carolina, the Honorable Roy Cooper.
The Sergeant-at-Arms of the House and the Senate will admit the Chief Executive, who is invited to the well of the House. Mr. President, I have the distinct honor and privilege to present His Excellency, the Governor of the State of North Carolina, the Honorable Roy A. Cooper.
Thank you, guys.
Members of the General Assembly, distinguished guests, His Excellency, the Governor of the State of North Carolina, the Honorable Roy Cooper.
Mr. President Pro Tem, Mr. Speaker, members of the General Assembly, Council of State, Mr. Chief Justice and members of the Supreme Court, members of the Court of Appeals, Cabinet Secretaries, and to my family, my amazing wife, Kristen, and our three wonderful daughters who are with us in spirit and watching via PBS North Carolina TV. Good evening. I am honored to be with you tonight. We gather after a year we could not have imagined. And now we look to a future that can be even better than we imagined. Our response to an unprecedented, once-in-a-generation challenge is showing us clearly that North Carolinians are resilient and ready. The state of our state is strong. And that's because the character of our communities is even stronger. We've shown we are compassionate. Amid a year of suffering and loss, North Carolinians have never stopped showing up for each other. Our healthcare workers have sacrificed their own safety to save lives. Neighbors have delivered meals. Families have found new ways to stay connected. Songs from grandchildren have poured through nursing home windows. Educators have engaged and nurtured their students, even through the computer screen. There are endless examples of kindness and strength that we have shown each other. We've lost a lot this year. Painfully, the 12,560 North Carolinians who died with COVID-19, from parents and children to favorite teachers, community volunteers, and many more. Their lives have forever enriched ours. And we will carry them with us always. And not only have we lost loved ones, we've also lost time to sickness, lost learning, lost jobs, lost peace of mind. One thing this pandemic laid bare is the inequities that were already here. The critical need to strengthen our public schools and require a sound basic education for all of our children as our Constitution mandates. The gaps in high-speed internet access, the unlivable wages that many hard-working North Carolinians, just to make ends meet, to take on multiple jobs that don't provide health insurance. But if we can harness all that we have learned from our lost, we can boost opportunities for all North Carolinians. The opportunity to get a training for a better paying job, the opportunity to get health insurance, the opportunity to get connected to telemedicine, homework, and loved ones who live far away, the opportunity to prosper. This past year has impacted every single person in our state and has required the collective effort of North Carolinians to stay safe and save lives. From the beginning, I pledged that we would listen to health experts and follow the science to protect our state. And we have done just that. The decisive actions we have taken saved lives and prevented our hospitals from being overwhelmed. And I would like to recognize and thank healthcare workers across our state. Your commitment and courage have made all the difference. Thank you. Our state's response to the pandemic has been strong, and every phase of it has required North Carolinians from Cherokee to Chewan to step up and do their part, including the people in this room tonight. Farmers, restaurant cooks, grocery store workers kept us fed. Educators, bus drivers, custodians, and cafeteria workers helped our children get meals, stay safe, and learn. Law enforcement, firefighters, EMTs kept us protected. Passionate, peaceful protesters of all stripes challenged us and reminded us the importance of protecting our freedom of speech. Faith leaders prayed for, helped, and comforted us. Scientists and researchers at our great universities helped discover and make vaccines and treatments. Moms, dads, grandparents, children, neighbors, friends, everyday people endured together and helped each other. You see, North Carolinians step up in times of crisis. And while our special guests cannot be in the building tonight, I want to recognize a few North Carolinians who've made a real difference. A lot of North Carolina companies, at their own economic risk, changed what they were doing and started making things we needed right then to save lives. Instead of just making furniture, Custom Contracts Furnishing in High Point teamed up with local fabrics companies to make medical gowns. They hired 50 new employees and made over a million gowns for our state and other customers. In March of 2020, right as the pandemic began, Parkdale Mills in Gastonia worked with a group of companies to put together a reusable mask, supplying over 600 million of them across the country. This kind of ingenuity and resourcefulness helped us get desperately needed PPE to frontline workers when they didn't have enough. That North Carolina ingenuity unfolded across the state in many ways. Felicia Young, a math teacher at Knox Middle School in Salisbury, knew remote learning would be a challenge. So she went the extra mile to make it fun. She produced videos with music, dance, and song that helped you with math even though you didn't want them to. She kept in such close contact with her students and families, she earned the nickname Mama Young. North Carolina National Guard Lieutenant Colonel David Walliser coordinated vaccine sites along with emergency management and state and local health officials across the state and helped organize the federally supported site in Greensboro. And he said, "No great achievement is achieved alone." Colonel Walliser knew that with all of us working together, we could get more people vaccinated. And of course, there are endless stories of our heroic frontline health workers who fought this pandemic tirelessly with courage and compassion. One of these is Natisha Fields, a nurse and manager at Carolina East Medical Center in Newburgh. She had the double challenge of caring for her patients and her staff, from dealing with PPE shortages to caring for dying patients to supporting her staff members who were working long hours amid their own sacrifices. She kept things running and kept people safe. Natisha, David, Felicia, Custom Contracts Furnishing, Parkdale Mills, and so many other people and companies in our state stepped up. And I am so grateful to all of them. And now, it's time for us to step up. The elected leaders. North Carolinians want us to work together like they have had to do. Now, members of the legislature, we know we can find common ground because we've done it before. Our differences often get the attention, but our cooperation got billions of dollars in relief funds to people who needed it. You passed and I signed legislation to provide funding to rebuild after the natural disasters. Together, we passed the build and see bonds for better roads. We landed tens of thousands of good-paying jobs with strategic and accountable economic incentives. We got rid of the discriminatory House Bill 2. We raised the age for juveniles in the criminal justice system. And just last month, together, we got more children safely into their classrooms. And we're working with each other on pandemic response. We recognize that thousands of North Carolinians were threatened with eviction and power shutoffs during the pandemic. My administration created and you funded the HOPE program to make payments directly to landlords and utilities to keep people in their homes with the lights on. It's already helped 36,000 families and paid out almost $125 million. Together, we're helping small business owners bounce back with federal funds for their rent and utilities. The barbecue center in Lexington that's been family-owned and open since 1955. This money allowed them to keep their doors open, pay and keep their employees, while still serving great barbecue. You passed and I signed legislation waiving the ABC permit fees, saving struggling bar and restaurant owners millions, directing funds to schools to keep them safe, providing students with summer school and with better ways to learn to read. And we know we have to do so much more. We often have our differences in these chambers, but the people of North Carolina should know that at times, when it mattered, their leaders stepped up. And now, we need to do it again. One way is fighting through this pandemic together, the right way. Though every loss hurt, North Carolina ranks low among the states in COVID-19 deaths per capita during the pandemic. During the same period, North Carolina ranks low among states in job losses per capita. We've saved lives during the pandemic and deployed vaccines to bring our economy on strong. We are doing it the right way. Almost half of our state's adults have had at least the first shot of vaccine, and almost 40% are fully vaccinated. And we're doing even better with our 65 and over population, with more than 77% with at least one shot, and more than 72% fully vaccinated. That's remarkable. Every dose is another person saved, another family closer to immunity. Now think what more we can do if we keep working together. Our future success as a state depends on us getting health care to working people who don't have it. Several of you top legislators from both parties sat with Secretary of Health and Human Services Dr. Mandy Cohen and me on the North Carolina Council for Health Care Coverage, and we unanimously agreed on a set of principles. Some were straightforward. Get more people covered with health insurance. Make people healthier. Use tax dollars wisely. Others were more complicated. Make healthcare more fair. Reach our rural areas. The opportunity to do all of these things is there if we expand Medicaid. And circumstances about Medicaid expansion have changed dramatically since we debated it in the last budget. First, even more federal dollars, our tax money, are available in unprecedented amounts for the last few states that have not expanded. That can make our rural hospitals thrive, provide mental health, and keep working people healthy. Second, this legislature's push to transition Medicaid to managed care is happening in about 2 months, and you have said that this will make Medicaid more efficient and save taxpayer money. Third, people who've lost their jobs and their employer-sponsored health insurance during this pandemic desperately need this help. We hear time and again from small businesses about the urgent need for Medicaid expansion. One business owner who's been fighting for it, is Cassandra Brooks. She operates child care centers in Clayton and Garner. Her centers cared for the children of grocery store clerks, nurses, and other frontline workers who had to work in person all through this pandemic. Cassandra had a friend and a coworker die from a stroke when she could not afford treatment for her high blood pressure. She has seen people without health insurance get sick with COVID-19 and not be able to get the care they needed. 1 in 5 child care workers don't have health insurance. That's not right. Expanding Medicaid does all the things we agreed on in our bipartisan council meeting. It gets more people covered. It makes people healthier. It uses tax dollars wisely and reduces health care costs for businesses. It makes healthcare more fair. It reaches rural areas. Let's make a deal. Let's get this done. A healthier state means a healthier workforce that's ready for the better paying jobs that we're bringing here. In 2019, I and the bipartisan leaders of the legislature, business, and education stood together to make a promise. We pledged that in the next decade, 2 million more adult North Carolinians would have a degree or trade certification. Now we have the best chance to keep that promise. Today, we can join together to offer all North Carolinians who want to reach their full potential through higher education the chance to afford it. With our great community colleges, university system, and private colleges, we have the best training grounds in America. With the federal American Rescue Plan and state resources, we have the funding. With businesses already here and coming soon, we have the good-paying jobs. Now we need to put it all together to make education and training more affordable for everyone. Now, you might have heard today that a little technology company from California has decided to move here. And yet another tremendous accomplishment for our state. Today, we stood together and announced that Apple had chosen North Carolina for its first new campus and engineering hub in the United States in more than 20 years. And that makes 11 companies that have announced thousands of jobs in both rural and urban areas in just the past 2 months during a pandemic. The good jobs are already here, and they're going to keep on coming. Let's make sure our people can afford to get the education and training to land them. We know that people can succeed if we break down the financial barriers keeping them from their goals. Lexine Merrill was in her third semester as a nursing student at Central Piedmont Community College when unexpected medical bills came on top of a needed car repair. She thought she'd have to drop out. But a Finish Line grant helped her afford to stay in school. She graduated in December and is working as a critical care nurse in Monroe right when we need her the most. Her story is a testament that even a small amount of financial help can turn students into skilled workers to fill these high-demand jobs. The CEOs will tell you they need these highly trained people right now, and that we need to invest more in our community colleges and our universities for scholarships, and we need them now. These same CEOs will tell you that investing in education at the back end is important, but investing in our children earlier may be even more critical. Our pledge for getting 2 million more adults trained and educated by 2030 must begin with more children getting high-quality pre-K and a healthy start at birth. More children who learn to read in elementary school. More children inspired to learn trades in middle school. And more well-paid educators who can guide children as well as adults getting trained for a second career. And that means paying our teachers more. If we want to recruit and keep the best educators, we need to pay them better. Too many of our teachers are working multiple jobs, and it's still not enough. Because of our budget dispute last time, our educators did not get a raise in the last budget cycle. We need to make up for that in this year's budget. Healthcare and education will get us well on our way, but to cement North Carolina's spot as best in the nation for business and industry, we have to solidify the state's backbone. It's infrastructure, schools, water and sewer, roads, bridges, transit, and also its pathways for information. High-speed internet is vital for education and telemedicine, but also for every person from small business owner and farmer to big corporation and hospital. In Hope County, Dr. Karen Smith began using telemedicine to care for patients with opioid addiction. And when the pandemic hit, she realized that she could help, that internet could help even more. She carefully planned to continue her in-person medical practice, but many of her patients were hesitant to come in at the height of the pandemic, and a lot of them didn't have internet access. So Dr. Smith extended her office's Wi-Fi to the parking lot and offered tablets for patients to use. This meant that those with limited access to technology could still get the care they needed through telemedicine. The pandemic and the resulting necessary expansion of technology have flung us a decade ahead. The future world, where we work from home, see a doctor, and connect over screens, is thrust on us right now. But if you don't have access, the screen, or the money to subscribe, you're left out and left behind. We have a plan and the money to stretch high-speed internet to our state's farthest corners. And we should use them both to get this done. Let's boost businesses that were hardest hit by the pandemic with some direct help. Restaurants, hotels, conventions, hospitality, and tourism. Let's get people back in the workforce and help them get the training they need to land the jobs. And a lot of them will be clean energy jobs. Look, scientists concur that the climate crisis is real and that we need to lower carbon emissions. But aside from that, clean energy is where the great paying jobs are going to be. Let's get ahead of the other states and lead this industry in North Carolina. I'm asking you to expand access to clean energy technologies. Invest in clean energy economic development. Promote offshore wind and build the clean energy workforce to catalyze North Carolina's economy. This industry is racing toward us with thousands of good paying jobs that will strengthen our economy and our planet. We're already ahead in solar energy, and with new offshore wind and its lucrative supply chain, we can put money in North Carolina pockets. As we work to build our infrastructure, we need to build the school buildings our kids deserve and strengthen the community colleges and universities where we're training the next great scientists, engineers, nurses, and welders. We can enrich our lives with investments in parks and museums and historic sites. We're seeing the lowest interest rates. We can afford it. It'll create jobs, and we're never going to get a better deal. So let's come together and pass a strong bond referendum so we can get all of this done. All of these important steps are needed to build a stronger and more prosperous future. But we can't succeed in the future without reckoning with our past and, unfortunately, our present. We must face head-on the stark reality of systemic racism and how it hurts people and leaves them behind. Who gets to see a doctor? Who gets hired for a job? Who gets charged with a crime? Who gets prison time? Who gets killed? Over the past year and just in the past week, we've seen the harm suffered by too many people of color in our state and across the country. And I want to say clearly, we must all stand together to stop racial injustice in North Carolina. Everyone should have opportunity, and everyone should be able to feel safe in their own homes and communities without fear of authority who should be there to protect them. In all areas that are important for people's success, healthcare, education, economic strength, the justice system. We must confront systems that favor some and harm others, and we must fix them. Fellow North Carolinians, today our state is operating under a budget that was enacted in 2018 because we couldn't agree on one last time. Think about how much the world has changed since 2018. I'm here now at your invitation to give my perspectives about the needs and challenges of our people. And I'm here to tell you that my budget tackles those needs and challenges. There's some really good ideas in there. There's going to have to be some give and take in order for us to get this done. I don't want to have to veto the budget. And I will do my part to see that we have a budget. And I expect you to do yours. And I, as I've told them, I want to see a budget that has three signatures. Senator Berger's, Speaker Moore's, and mine. Our people deserve that. To the legislators in the room, we've agreed before. Let's find ways to do it again and keep moving our state forward. Let's agree to listen more to each other and act in good faith to get things done. We are already making progress on that. The challenges we face are too great to do otherwise. They're not easy to solve. We have the opportunity and the unprecedented resources to face them head on, to get to the root of problems, to imagine and innovate rather than doubt and tolerate, to fight discrimination and promote justice that opens doors even wider to diversity and equity. In a year of hardship and loss, we owe it to ourselves and to each other. And as leaders, we owe it to the people who elected us to build a state that is truly more educated, equitable, healthier, and prosperous. And to act with the compassionate resilience that has gotten us through this pandemic. North Carolinians kept each other safe, taught each other, saved each other, mourned for and loved each other, prayed for each other. This is the North Carolina way, and we must heed the lessons that we have learned. I believe with all my heart that North Carolina is strong, resilient, and ready to face the challenges of the future. I believe that we will rebuild from this pandemic to be even stronger than before. And I believe that we can roar into the future together, creating a shared recovery that ensures all of our best days lie ahead. I have never been prouder to call myself a North Carolinian. I have never had a stronger faith in God. I have never been more honored or more committed to serve all of you as your governor. And I have never been more certain that North Carolina's future is bright. Thank you. God bless all of you. God bless North Carolina, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you all very much.
The Sergeant-at-Arms of the House and the Senate will open the doors for the exit of the governor. President Pro Tempore Berger is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the joint session be now dissolved and, pursuant to the motions prevailing earlier in the Senate and the House, the Houses will reconvene at the time stipulated in their earlier adjournment motions.
Second.
Senator Berger moves, seconded by Speaker Moore, that the joint session be dissolved. All those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the joint session is dissolved. Pursuant to motions heretofore made, the Senate and House of Representatives stand adjourned to reconvene Tuesday, April 27th, 2021, at the time stipulated in their adjournment motions.